Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Afternoon Delight.
He's been the voice of the Warriors. The Raiders.
Give it to me again. Touchdown.
Raiders. And we sound good. We sound really good.
Now, live from the DGDG.com studios, high atop the San Francisco skyline, in crystal clear FM, joined by Bonte Hill, here's your host, Greg Papa.
Let's see if this is a spark for this offense right now.
First NFL action for Beathard in the regular season. Time for Beathard. Another high throw, but leaping up to get it. Marquise Goodwin, and this time hangs on to it for a first down. Middle of the field is open for a first down to the 25. George Kittle, and he'll throw on the run. Wide open, Aldrick Robinson, touchdown 49ers. Hold everything. Beathard's throw knocked away by Dunbar.
No signaling offensive pass interference.
Garcon has been known for such.
Pass interference, offense, number 15.
The last 49er team, the only other time they started 0-6, Bill Walsh, his first year, 1979. Intercepted. The Redskins with the closeout from Kendall Fuller. Another close defeat for San Francisco.
Chris Myers, did you say close? This is now five consecutive losses by 3 points or fewer. That is dubious NFL history. Welcome to the Afternoon Delight. Greg Papa, Bonte Hill. We thought we'd start a little late today, Bonte, like the 49ers offense. We've already fallen behind 17-0 on the show.
Yes, we
but
have.
We're on the air. We're on the air.
We're
kind of like
air.
The Niners. Remember the days of Chip Kelly when they would score first and have a great first quarter, then lose the game later? Now they suck in the first quarter. Sometimes into the second quarter, and then they, you know, come back. Last week in Indy, they scored two touchdowns late to force overtime and lose. And obviously, the quarterback changed. But, man, the starts that they are not getting off to is just awful to watch. 17-0 is hard to come back and win unless you're playing the Atlanta Falcons, Bonte.
Yes, unless you're playing the Falcons, you're probably not coming back. And good job, good effort again. I always think of that little girl at the Miami Heat game when LeBron James and them fell behind 3-2 to the Boston Celtics. There's a little girl saying, "Hey, guys, good job, good effort." And that's all we're getting here from the 49ers. Good job, good effort, but not close enough. They can't get over the hump. 0-6, and some fans are happy about 0-6 because they believe in the whole tanking process. I don't. I like to see this team get a win, especially this young group. And, you know, valiant effort again, Pop, but not enough. Not enough, and whether it's a bad call, whether it's a missed assignment, whether it's a blown coverage, I mean, they're just not getting it done. And they're sitting here at 0-6, and I'm sure Kyle Shanahan is trying to figure this out, Pop. When can I get a win?
Well, who knows? Maybe against Dallas, if Zeke doesn't play, you're back at home. But, you know, Bill Walsh did start 0-7 and 79, and it turned out pretty good for him. You know, it's disappointing because the baseball season never got started in the Bay Area, and we were so looking forward to the 49ers season, the football season, and the fact the 49ers are 0-6 is alarming. We didn't think they'd be a great team, but we thought they may win 6, and now they're still looking. And we'll get to the Raiders situation coming up at 12:30 and 12:45. T.J. Carey, who I thought played a great football game, maybe the best he's ever played in the NFL in a loss yesterday to the Chargers, will join us at some point. They're back in the building. They're going through treatment, getting their body right, and they got to play on Thursday. So we will give you a Raider Monday coming up in a little bit on the Afternoon Delight here on 95.7 The Game. But I do have to start with the bogus offensive pass interference call on Pierre Garcon. And this is one of the worst that I've seen. I'm looking for the official on John Perry's crew that threw the flag, because the pick play in the NFL has been the bane of my existence for a long time. Because it gets, I mean, with the year Peyton Manning threw the 55 touchdown passes, I got to go back and look at it. I would guess more than half, maybe in the 30s, were on goal line pick plays where they just had one receiver come over and pick off a defender to pop that receiver open. They do it all the time in the NFL. This was not a pick play. This was quite the opposite. This is a defensive pass interference on Zach Brown. What Pierre Garçon is doing, and this is a common concept in the West Coast offense where one receiver runs a slant, Pierre Garçon, and the other, the back out of the backfield, runs a flat. It's a slant-flat combination. That's what we've been talking about, combination routes. They ran it perfectly, and they did it on the guy we said to attack, Quentin Dunbar, number 47. Now, you didn't have Josh Norman the whole game with a rib injury off the Kansas City game. Bashaud Breeland winds up getting hurt, and he's getting an MRI today, Bonte. This one call changed everything in the football game, and it was way worse than the offensive PI on the rookie Taylor when he may have thrown the chicken wing out a little bit against the Rams on that Thursday nighter. This is, and it's hard for officials to really see it and understand it, but maybe they need to be taught what the offense is trying to do. This is not a pick play. Pierre Garçon is running a slant route on Quentin Dunbar. He gets inside on the slant. The ball is thrown to him. You don't throw the ball to the guy that is setting a pick. You throw it to the guy he's picking for, which would have been Carlos Hyde in the flat. The ball goes to Garçon. Bonte, it is Zach Brown, the linebacker that runs into Pierre Garçon. It's not the other way around. Garçon does not run into Brown. Brown, who has the flat as a linebacker, is getting out on Hyde, and he's late. Hyde's going to beat him there. In retrospect, if C.J. Beathard throws the ball to Hyde, he turns that corner. You're kicking a field goal to win the game down the sideline. Who knows when he gets caught? But the young quarterback, and we'll get into his play, throws the slant because Garçon's the guy. And Garçon got on top of Dunbar. The plays run perfectly. The guy that screwed the whole play up is Zach Brown. And he gets a offensive PI on Garçon. If they call the correct call, which is a defensive pass interference on 53 in Burgundy, the ball is like on the 36-yard line. You're a couple of runs away from bringing Robbie Gould in to win the football game, Vontae. So this is just it kills me when they don't call the pick plays in the NFL because they're blind to it. This time they called it completely inverse, the opposite way. It was not an offensive PI. It was a defensive PI. The ball went to Garçon. You don't throw it to the guy setting the pick. What the hell's going on here? That was terrible.
Such a botched play by the referees. And this has to be a point of emphasis in the offseason because pick plays, the evolution of pick plays, Pop, we're seeing all type of creative ways to call a pick play or to free receivers up. This needs to be a point of emphasis in the offseason with the competition committee to teach these refs what a valid pick play is. That was just the Niners are going in for the game-winning field goal. They may steal a game in the nation's capital. They may be coming back here to Levi's Stadium with the win, Pop. I just, at least, you know, in that situation, if the referees aren't sure what a pick play is, I like to see a review. I like to see them go up to the booth and say, hey, we need to change this play. This is a terrible call. That is just, it is tough to lose like that, Pop.
Yeah.
Where it's just a totally botched play. At least, you know, I know it's not in the rule book to review that play. But I'd love to see a review there to say, hey,
well, Belichick wants all plays reviewed.
I'm with Belichick.
Now, this one is really a judgment. But I think when you look at it, isn't it obvious to you that the defensive player, Zach Brown, runs into the offensive player, not vice versa?
It's so obvious. Well,
I don't know why anybody's not picking up on that. So in any event, when you're over, these things happen. And as far as tanking, and by cutting Navarro Bowman on Friday, they're showing you they're not tanking. They ate a lot of money. The easier thing would have been to play him. Now, Brock Coyle, I thought he played better than what looked. It's hard. Chris Thompson is a hard guy to cover. I told you that before the game on Friday. We knew it from seeing him earlier in the year. The linebackers are just not going to be able to run with him. And, you know, Ray losing Vernon Davis up that seam was a real big problem as he was peaking. But let's just get to the story here. And it is a Raider Monday. We'll address what's going on with the Raiders at 12:30 and 12:45. And T.J. Carey may join us a little bit later on. They got a short week. They have to go back to work at 2-4 against the Chiefs on Thursday night. To the quarterback change. And I honestly didn't think it was going to come this soon. I thought it would come later in the year. We don't watch C.J. Beathard in practice. We saw him in the preseason. He had that beautiful boot to his left in the pass to Kittle down the sideline. It was awesome. The last game against the Chargers, he started to show some off-target throws, and there were times in the game he was off-target, but not nearly as bad as Brian Hoyer. And Brian Hoyer, Bonte, will come back and play. at some point this year. Yes. Whether by injury or ineffectiveness. This guy's green. And, you know, they're studying right now, you know, trying to get ready to play him. And once you know he's playing, you know, he's solid. I think his poise is really strong. I'll get into him in a moment. But what have I been saying about Hoyer? That backside out.
Oh, yeah,
the throw
left
on
side.
The out to yep. his left. Go back and watch his second-to-last throw on the second and 15 to Pierre Garçon.
Oh, I remember. I thought about it you instantly
like,
when I saw that
It looked
play
like
pop.
Cam Newton's pro day. I thought he was going to – I thought it bounced off the wall or was three rows deep. Just a terrible throw. And then he comes right back on the third down, and it's third and 15, and he throws one to Goodwin, which is going to be well short of the first down.
Let him right out of bounds.
Yep. The only way you can make that throw to rationalize, why am I throwing a third and 15 at 8 yards? Maybe he can catch it, get up the field. But if you throw it so the guy has to run out of bounds to catch it, I've seen it enough, Ponte. I thought he got better in Indy with his mechanics, the straight shoulder drop, opening up his hips to the backside. But the guy, just simple pitch and catches, He can't execute. He's just way off target. And when Steve Mariucci joins us at 1 o'clock on the Afternoon Delight with Pop and Bonta here, 95.7 The Game, I don't know if you can coach quarterbacks to be more accurate. You can coach them to see it earlier, anticipate the throw, get it out quicker. But I don't know if you're either accurate or not accurate. And Brian Hoyer's just not accurate. So those two throws back-to-back, you're like, that's enough. And I was shocked that they went ahead and did it. They did it after the interception down the sideline by Robinson. So they brought him in. And his first throw, C.J. Beathard, was a good play action, a quick on his back foot, hit Selleck for a quick gain. I didn't like the check down to Breida. And the one he bounced on the out was a bad throw. And you're thinking, uh-oh, he's not any better than Hoyer with the accuracy. And he did miss a lot of throws. He did. But I thought overall, the touchdown pass to Aldrick Robinson was really good. And it was the way he climbed up in the pocket and got out to his right. It was very Aaron Rodgers-like. And it was a great throw. He made a lot of high-quality throws. I think the big thing is it's not overwhelming for him. The moment is not too big. I mean, that's a hard one to bring him in the middle of the game in Landover at FedEx Field. They love football in Washington when you're down 17 to nothing.
Right.
I thought, you may want to wait and do it at home game against the Cowboys. But I thought overall he played fine. We'll see where it goes. And they're all worried about Hoyer. You know, how do you bench him and bring him back? Well, you're not benching Joe Montana here. Brian Hoyer's been benched. And they benched Joe.
Right.
They benched him a lot and brought in Steve Young. This guy, he's used to getting benched. I mean, the way he plays, and we thought he'd never play again after that horrific playoff game when he was a Texan a few years ago against the Chiefs. So he's used to getting benched, and he'll have to figure it out. But I think, Beathard played okay. Watching it, when I watched it back the first time, I thought he missed a lot of throws. When you study it and watch throw to throw, I thought he was fine. And for a young guy, a third-round pick, he's poised. It's not too big for him. He did take a couple of sacks, which hurt. I think the one he took before Robbie Gould's missed field goal, and that was partly on Carlos Hyde a little bit, and Hyde just got to block better.
Yeah.
But that's a hard assignment to ask him to block a blitzing linebacker like that. I think he actually got on the tackle and didn't get over. He got onto the young guy. Or maybe it was Stacy McGee, the former Raider, I think he was blocking, and they wound up blitzing the linebacker Foster and took you out of field goal range, which it hurts you there. But, if the officials make the right call and call that defensive pass interference, hell, you're down. It was 17 to nothing, and then after they were down 9. Wasn't it like 26-17?
26-17. They
thought it was over at that point.
Thought it was over, and they make a rally here. And C.J. Beathard, what I liked about him, in all his possessions, Pop, there was no three and outs. C.J. Beathard got first downs. They drove the ball. They gave him that spark. But also, when Shanahan inserted him, Pop, I was shocked too. But I'm just thinking about all week. We were talking Kirk Cousins coming to the 49ers. We've been talking about Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen. And I think Kyle Shanahan, maybe for a split second there, said, you know what? I need to see what I have on this football team now before I make any rational moves about next season. Before I start talking about Kirk Cousins signing them the $30 million a year. Before I talk about taking Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold with my top pick. Let me see what C.J. Beathard has. Let me see what C.J. Beathard can bring to this football team. So now this is C.J. Beathard's audition for next season. This move right here, Pop, is going to have ramifications on next season's roster. Whether or not they go after Kirk Cousins. Whether or not they want to draft a young quarterback. This is C.J. Beathard's time to show what he has. And, he wasn't bad yesterday. It gets a tough Washington defense, Pop.
No, he was fine, but yeah, you're exactly right. But that I thought that was going to come later in the year.
We both did.
I did not think it would come in October. I thought it would come after the bye, you know, right after Thanksgiving. But I mean, the bottom line is, you know, you're down 17-0, and Brian Hoyer is just inaccurate again. And maybe he saw something on the sideline, but in any event, you know, they got other issues, and we'll segue over to the Raiders. You know, their issues are, as far as the inside linebacking play, is very similar to what's going on with the Raiders. Now, they are going to get their number one draft pick back, Reuben Foster. I thought he might play in this game. I thought that was the whole timing of the Bowman release and why it had to play out at this point. You could have waited a week and played Bowman in this game. But they're having a hard time covering the middle of the field. I mean, it's just obvious. Chris Thompson just ate him alive. So when Foster comes back, I think that, you know, he's going to get the green dot and he's going to start, and they're going to probably keep Ray Ray at weak side linebacker, and then Coyle will mix in. But their problems defensively, and Cousins was really on point yesterday, just really on point. Solomon Thomas, he had the one sack, but he bit hard on the pull option read and gave him the walk-in touchdown. Right. They suckered him into that one. But Trent Williams yesterday, Washington's great left tackle, just looked crippled. Why? They didn't overload his side more and really bring pressure to Cousins' backside, because when you saw Solomon Thomas just overpower Williams for the one sack, Bonte, you knew Trent Williams is just not himself here. He's just going because he has to go. So I think right now you cannot expect these linebackers and these corners to cover as long as they're being at. They got to get more pass rush. Either you got to blitz, you got to do something, and I know they don't like to blitz, but you got to figure out a way. Otherwise, you know, a good quarterback like Kirk Cousins is going to eat you alive, which he did.
Yep, Dak Prescott on deck for the 49ers next Sunday. Levi's as a Cowboys visit the 49ers. A Raider Monday brought to you by Mountain Mike's Pizza. The way it ought to be, are the Raiders in free fall.
The Greg Papa Show continues on 95.7 The Game.
Takes the snap, throws out right, it's intercepted, threw it right to Trevor Williams, over through Crabtree, his first pass is picked, he looks left, throws, and it's tipped and intercepted off the hands of Marshawn Lynch.
Everyone makes one mistake, one more time for old time's sake, wake me when this punishment is done.
High snap from Kondo to Vecchio's extra point is no good. Kazer's got it down, Novak has it away, and the Raiders have lost by a single point. Well, the young punter holder, Drew Kazer, got revenge. Served up cold yesterday at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. It was Kazer who dropped a snap last year, which cost the Chargers a chance to tie the game late with a Josh Lambeau field goal. He gets this one down, and their new old kicker, Nick Novak, drives it through, and John Kondo. Just feel terribly for John. I cannot recall him having such a bad snap in such a critical moment. In fact, the only time he ever gets attention was the game. Remember the game he missed on Monday Night Football years ago, and a guy named Travis Gaethel, who was the Raiders backup linebacker, middle linebacker then, and we actually learned that he was the backup long snapper, and he had a bad game. He rolled a couple back. I think that was Shane Lechler back then. So in any event, I was thinking of Travis Gaethel yesterday as John Kondo just did what he doesn't typically do, which is a bad, bad snap, and he took the full responsibility for it. Marquette King made a hell of a play to go up and pull that down. And I went in the locker room after to talk to Giorgio, and Giorgio said, tell the Raider Nation I apologize.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, he didn't do anything.
I did, too. He took accountability, too. He said, hey, yeah, it's my fault. I got to be poised, and I got to keep my poise and make the kick. So kudos to Vecchio for taking the blame there. But, yeah, it wasn't his fault.
No, it was on John. And John went over and tapped his helmet, and he said after it was on me. And the reality is, you know, Chargers may have just stuck that ball in the end zone to win the game anyway. I think if they were driving with a chance where they needed more than a field goal would have tied it and you made the extra point. I think the way they were going, they would have stuck it in the end zone. So, you know, the Raiders held them to 17 points, which is an accomplishment. The Chargers, since Rivers has been the quarterback, they average 28 points a game, which is amazing. A lot of the pieces are different. And I will address Derek Carr and the offense and the two interceptions he threw yesterday. You know, Derek's going to pull a mea culpa, but it really was not entirely his fault. And we'll explain what's going on and what's not going on with the Raider offense right now. But I do want to start with the defense and the decision to flat out bench Sean Smith. And the way all the injuries piled up, you know, I thought they would just have him inactive. But they couldn't. He was up for the game. He never stepped on the field, Bonte. Not one snap.
Not one snap.
He didn't play on special teams because he's not a special teams player. And he's making $9.5 million. And, you know, the only thing worse than having to pay him is to play him because they're just attacking him. So, you know, last week we had Dexter McDonald on the show and we got TJ Carey on the show coming up in a little bit. He's getting treatment. Maybe we'll get him around 145. As it is a Raider Monday brought to you in part by the Oaks Card Club. Play it smart. Play it Oaks. Dexter played well. TJ Carey, I thought, had his best game in the league. He just, all those little shallow crosses that the Chargers and Phillip Rivers run incessantly, and they normally run double crossers where one guy will start one side and the guy, and they cross, try to give you a little pick play or a natural rub. They run it constantly. The way the Raider corners tackled Keenan Allen on a couple of those crossing routes and Tyrell Williams once was really impressive. And even the time Williams got loose over the middle, McDonald chased him out and punched the ball from behind. But the real story is the lack of being able to defend Hunter Henry. And for years, whenever you're playing the Chargers, when they break the huddle, Bonte, I'm always saying, where's Gates?
Where's 85?
Especially on third down.
Yep.
I don't care where Gates is. He's not going to be able to. But he actually ran by Carl Joseph on a corner route.
I remember
Old
that.
Man Gates.
Had two
like,
steps
I haven't
on
seen him run a corner. And then they come right out, and they go at Carl Joseph, who is playing well. But really, his lack of size matching up with tight ends is a major problem. And they went right at him. After Marquette King punted that ball deep down to the 7-yard line, and Eric Harris downed it, they're on their 7. And what did they do? Boom, boom, two corner routes. And one, the first corner to Hunter Henry was a back shoulder corner, which I haven't seen thrown in the league. I saw New England throw it to Gronk a few Thursdays ago. Like, how the hell do you throw a back shoulder corner? The guy's going this way. He's going out. He has to come back. And he threw it because, you know, Carl did flash there. I think if he would have lobbed it over the top, he would have dropped it to Henry. But Rivers threw it back shoulder. Came right back with the same play.
And didn't they run on that first play, Pop, double tight? So it came out in the run formation. It came out in the run formation,
yes,
play
they,
action,
yeah.
Pass, and then boom, beat Carl Joseph there. And
they got Hunter Henry. He's one of the tight ends, but he's your primary on that play. So that's why tight ends are a valuable commodity on offense because, yeah, when Hunter Henry comes in the game, they may have the other guy, the bald guy, Sean McGrath, you're thinking they're going to run it here. But no, they're going to run that tight end up the seam and run a corner route on you. And they're right back into you know, striking range. And the way the Raiders play their linebackers was really, this is a problem. Now, I thought Corey James could play more. I mean, you have to wonder, I guess there were so many guys they had to deactivate because of injury, but he didn't hardly play, Corey James.
Seven
he
was snaps.
Up, it's hardly anything. And then Markell Lee's got a high ankle. So you had to play Nicholas Morrow, who wore the green dot. He went out the first play of the game. His shoe falls off. You're like, what's going on here? And they didn't play Tyrell Adams, even though when they announced him as a starter, it was Xavier Woodson Luster, the rookie free agent from Arkansas State, which leads to the Navarro Bowman conversation. And Matt Millen will join us. What time, Bonte? 1:30, I think.
1:30.
Matt's going to join us.
And I'm hearing that Navarro Bowman has left this visit to the Raiders facility, still in town for whatever that's worth. That's according to Vic Tafer of The Athletic.
He's done what?
He's left the facility. He's left his visit with the Raiders.
Oh, he was there today?
He was there today.
Oh, I thought he was going in tomorrow.
Yeah, he was there today.
Okay. And I heard the Cowboys want to talk to him as well. So, as far as a contract, you pay him the veteran minimum. Doesn't he have an offset in his contract? He's not going to get any more money than what the Niners are forced to eat. So, I don't think there's going to go. It's, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be a role. And Drew Rosenhaus, his attorney, initially, when they said, you know, we're gonna take you off the field here in some of these packages, he said, trade me. Well, then he didn't. Apparently, it was New Orleans. I can't believe Mickey Loomis would have taken his contract on. Although they are playing better defensively, but he's certainly a one-down player. But they're the same team that signed Manti Te'o. Is he hurt, Manti Te'o?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything from Manti Te'o.
He can't run at all.
We were talking yesterday before the game. I forgot he was in the league.
He was there. He's what Bowman is. It's sad to say it that Bowman has become Manti Te'o as far as he's a first down player. But if Markell Lee's high ankle sprain is bad And Reuben Foster had a high ankle sprain 11 snaps into the season, Vontae. I haven't seen him at all since. So you're talking maybe a month and a half. If Markell Lees is as bad as Foster's, and he was when he came off the field last week, it was bad. And it's a high ankle sprain. He may be out, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. Would you bring Bowman in and, you know, and just take Lee? He would play in Lee's role. So you're not playing these two inside linebackers. Well, hell, Woodson Luster weighs 3 pounds more than Morrow. I mean, you're 216 and 219. Why do you think Melvin Gordon even got Phillip Rivers to go under center yesterday and not chuck it around the yard as much? He did when he had to. They went to Melvin Gordon. They ran right at the front. They got Gordon out on the flat. They are attacking the Raider inside linebackers as badly as the league is attacking the 49ers inside linebackers. So the question now, and we'll ask Mooch when he joins us at 1 and then Matt Millen at 1:30 here on the Afternoon Delight with Pop and Bonte here at 95.7 The Game. It's all part of a Raider Monday brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet. Drive a little and save a lot. I think that what Bowman may have left is because they had to be honest with him and say what his role would be. And his role would be you start in the base, and then you come off the field of the nickel and the dime. And then the other argument with Millen I want to have is, should Bowman really go to a 3-4 team and not a 4-3 team? In light of when Kyle Shanahan was saying, we're asking him to run around a little more. I mean, they got two inside line. They got a linebacker next to him. The Will's sitting right there with him. But the point can be made that he really should go to a 3-4 team only and not a 4-3 team. So we're trying to figure out if this is a match for the Raiders. He's going to have the lesson role. And Drew Rosenhaus apparently said, you know, after trade me, he said, okay, we're cool with it. But then they wound up releasing him. So, you know, if he goes to a new building, he's going to have to accept the role. But I just wonder, Bonte, and Matt will know more about it, if he really should look at the teams he wants to play for next exclusively, that would be a 3-4 team and not a 4-3 team.
Yeah, you're right there. And the Cowboys are a 3-4 team. So that's an interesting visit coming up for Navarro Bowman. But, Pop, let's talk about the offense. And is it all Derek Carr's fault?
The Greg Papa Show continues on 95.7 The Game.
I'm responsible for everything. Well, I will always be that way. I want every bit of stress off the head coach, off our coordinator, off my teammates. It is my fault because at the end of the day, we're out there on the field. I feel like that I can do something better. I can say it better. I can explain it better. There's something missing that I'm going to figure it out, and we're going to figure it out because I'm not going to feel like this my whole season, my whole career. I refuse.
Oh, it's nobody's fault but mine.
Derek going to throw a bomb. Amari got open, goes up, and takes the ball down. It's against the
holding
Raiders.
Offense, number 66.
Fourth and two on the Charger 41. First play, fourth quarter. They snap the ball, and Derek throws, and it's incomplete. And they turn it over on downs.
Nobody's falling mine.
Yeah, I don't understand the thinking here. I really don't understand it. You,
500 points on Pop. I don't think that's happening.
No, I'm talking about the head coach and his decisions in three straight games to fake a punt, to punt when you're behind, to go for it when you're ahead. I'm not following this. And Marquette King was having a great game. I think you got to punt him down inside the five. He'd been dropping punts all day, and the Gunners were getting down. I mean, that's three first downs of field position, so I don't understand it. It's incredibly inconsistent to me. Coaching staff is struggling. There's no doubt. They're just having a hard time gelling here. But, Derek Carr comes back yesterday, and the first pass of the game is intercepted. And you look at the route over and over and over again, and it's just he and Michael Crabtree saw two different things there. And for whatever reason, Michael Crabtree decided to stop on that route or hook it up, and Derek thought he was going down the sideline. I remember when Carson Palmer was a Raider, these things happen constantly. The option routes, and you're just not seeing it. The quarterback and the receiver are not seeing it together. The second one, I'm going to propose don't throw the ball to Marshawn Lynch anymore. That's just, forget it. He maybe thinks he's on the jugs machine and he's standing still when the ball's coming to him, but whenever the ball comes to him, for whatever reason, he stops moving. He did it in Nashville when he was uncovered, and it should have been a touchdown, and he just stops. He did it earlier in the game on a ball that went off his hands. In this one, he just stops running. When the ball is approaching him, he stops, and Derek is leading him. So either don't throw at the 24 anymore, or just stick it right on his body and don't lead him anymore, because it's just not working. So the two interceptions are on Derek's ledger. He didn't have a two-pick game all of last year, and now he's had two. In two of the games, the last three games he's played, his first pass of the game gets intercepted. So we talked about Derek with slow starts in years past, but these are not slow starts. These are craters. You can't throw the ball to the other team on the first play, and it's bringing the whole vibe down. So the bottom line is your best players are not playing their best right now. And Derek's not playing his best. Michael Crabtree and Marshawn Lynch just are not seeing it the way Derek should see this. If we're talking about a high-powered, state-of-the-art NFL offense, you don't make mistakes like that. Yes, you do sometimes, but you don't do it over and over and over again. Gabe Jackson gets called for a holding call. Kelechi Osemele completely whiffs on a block against Corey Legit. And he comes in and stuffs DeAndre Washington the moment DeAndre touches the football. Your best players, your highest paid players, are playing not well. They're not playing their best right now. They're giving you some good snaps, but it's highly inconsistent. And now to Todd Downing and the offensive flow. They did a lot of the things, Bonte, we've been advocating. First play of the game, Amari Cooper goes in ghost motion. And that's what got you the Marshawn Lynch off right tackle 15-yard run, his longest run as a Raider. I've been saying, you know, they did that a lot with Bill Musgrave, using the width of the field. Just what ghost motion is when Amari comes in motion and goes behind the Derek and the running back, and it forces, they think he may get an end around. It could be a special. He could come out the other side. So they have to flow to his side, and it holds the backside over and over again. The Chiefs do it every damn play. Then later in the game, they ran Amari Cooper on a jet sweep. They didn't give it to him. They gave the jet sweep later in the game to Patterson. So I see they're trying to use the width of the field. Several times, Jalen Richard would just run out horizontally, get outside the numbers, turn his shoulders right to Derek, and just sit there. He didn't do anything. What he wanted to do was stretch out the defense to throw a backside slant. And one of them went to Amari Cooper. They also bubble screen. I've been saying, bubble Amari, please. Right. Now, I know you're playing teams that play press man, and those teams are hard to bubble, like the Baltimore Ravens, the Denver Broncos. The Chargers are typically play a lot of press man, but yesterday played more soft zone. But and then you're getting Amari involved in some, but still. And the one play, and you heard the call when Gabe was called for the hold, and it negated Amari going up and high-pointing the ball. Just note to Todd Downing, and you see this in basketball players, Bonte, some basketball players are one-foot jumpers, and some are two-foot jumpers. If you're a one-foot jumper, you can be a two-foot jumper. The real skill is to be able to go up off 1 foot, and the best rebounders and finishers can jump off 1 foot. Some guys have to gather and go up with both feet. Amari Cooper is a two-foot jumper. Isn't that obvious now? When right. We see him go up and take that ball away.
Preseason against the Rams, he did.
Same play.
Same
went up
thing.
On three guys. He gathered with 2 feet and then went up. If you ask him to jump off 1 foot, his effort is lame, and he doesn't go up and get the ball. So now in order to buy the time for Amari to get to the spot to gather like Randy Moss and go up with 2 feet, you may have to roll the pocket. You're going to have to get the ball out a little bit later than Derek likes to get it out in the twos, the low twos. You may have to roll the pocket, plant the quarterback. But Amari Cooper's skill set is varied. But it's obvious to me he's a two-foot jumper, not a one-foot jumper. I want more deep shots to him, jump balls, but it's got to give him time to gather. So, the offense is just...
They need to challenge something vertically, Pop. Look, I'm looking at Derek Carr's pass attempts. 30 pass attempts yesterday. 24 within 6 yards of the line of scrimmage. Now, I know he loves to get the ball out fast. That's what he's doing. Everybody was fascinated and fawning over him getting the ball out in 1.9 seconds or less. In the last three games he started, one pass has went for 15 yards or more. I need him to challenge. We always talk about it, Pop. You broke it down after the Denver game. They look deep to short, deep to short. Well, everything is just dink and dunk, dink and dunk, dink and dunk. They have too much speed, too much talent on this offense, Pop. They're not challenged vertically.
But
they
got to
challenge these defenses vertically.
But the game plan yesterday,
I know,
was the ball. You got a quarterback coming off a broken back.
I know.
They've got Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa.
I get it.
If you're going to take deep shots, he may have, I don't know how many transverse process bones you have in your damn body, but they may all be broken except for just the three that are broken now. So I hear you, but I'm not, you know, I don't necessarily agree with that in this game plan. I think you wanted to get the ball out. I think it was telling that the Chargers never asked their corners to travel, and they both traveled yesterday, and Casey Hayward is not playing as well this year. He was great last year. He's having a poor year. Trevor Williams, the young corner, is the better corner. They had Trevor Williams follow Crabtree around, and they put their second corner, their lesser corner, Casey Hayward, on Amari. So what does that tell you? Well, it's the opponents will tell you what you got here. So I don't have a problem with the quick passing game, but I wanted to see more variety. The bubbles that they threw were not very effective. The receivers aren't blocking as well as they. I think they miss Andre Holmes. I keep saying this over and over again. They miss Andre's blocking as a wide receiver. I mean, Seth Roberts tries, and he's overall a decent blocker, but sometimes he just gets pushed back. So
what about that 3rd-and-2 shovel pass real quickly, Pop? What was your assessment there? I thought it was an odd
call.
Just didn't open up.
They had Marshawn to Derek's left. He went out, again, using the width of the field. Trying, I like that. You know, you got to watch Andy Reid on Thursday. He will send guys 53 and a third wide. Hell, they'll just run right out of bounds. He wants to stretch the width of the field to make it easy. And Marshawn, you know, went out wide, and they tried to take the box lighter. It just didn't open up for whatever reason. Cordell Patterson just didn't pop on that play. So I Todd Downing changed. He did change. I would like to see more combination routes where you're really scheming it. Through bunches, and they did that more. They had more bunches. They had stacks. I saw a lot of 2x2 stacks. But the bottom line is they ain't scoring. And the best players on this team, the guys that are cashing the largest paychecks from the quarterback to the receivers to the entire offensive line, both guards, the tackles, they're just not playing well. Your best players right now are not playing their best football. And if they don't start doing it post-haste like Thursday night, you may be out of time this year.
You may be out of time. You'll be looking at 2-5 on the season if they lose to the Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday. But right now, it's time for Dub Nation Dollars on 95.7 The Game.
Dub Nation Dollars, 95.7 The Game.
It's a three and it's money in the bank.
Money in the bank if you text the code word BED. Awful song choice there, but text the code word BED to 72. You spell BED, B-E-D, B-E-D. That's 72881 to qualify for $1,000. It's a multi-city contest. Message and data rates do apply. Listen weekdays at 9, 11, 1, and 3 to qualify. Details at 9570game.com/cash. Again, that is BED. Is CJ the answer for the 49ers at quarterback? We asked Moochie